Blog Talk Radio.
Have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your teacher and host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. Good morning, saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Watchmen on the Wall. God bless you. I'm so glad you tuned in today. And, of course, we have another wonderful Bible study for you. coming by way of the book of 1 Samuel. And again, the main character in the verses of Scripture that we're going to be considering today is, of course, the man of prayer, the prophet Samuel himself. Well, before we get into today's study, please let me remind you, dear saints of God, dear people of God, that if there's anything that we are going to conquer, it's only going to be conquered by means of prayer. Whatever comes our way, whatever the enemy is bringing into our lives, whatever the enemy is causing to happen in the church, whatever the enemy has designed for a particular minister or team of ministers, whatever it is, saints, please remember, we do not throw money at church problems. We do not even throw money at our problems. The way we get everything solved is by means of prayer. You know, there are prophets today. They call themselves prophets. And they will tell you that they belong to the same fraternity of prophets as the prophet Samuel. And they will tell you that they have the word of the Lord in their mouth and that God speaks to them and that God has brought them to you for such a time as this and that this is a divine connection and that we're not here by coincidence. And they'll go on and on and on and on and on to reassure you that them meeting you and you meeting them is of God. But you'll know that it's not of God the moment they ask you to throw money at a problem. If they say to you, if you give this offering, God will take care of your child who's on drugs, or if you give this offering, God will restore your marriage, or if you give this offering, God will get you a job, and if you give this offering, God will stop the foreclosure on your house, and if you give this offering, and if you sow into my ministry, which is good ground, blah, 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 your life will turn around. Let me tell you that no true prophet of God is going to tell you any such thing. Go from Genesis to Revelation, and you give me one example of when a true prophet of God, like Moses, like a Samuel, like an Isaiah, like a Malachi, like an Elijah or Elisha, or even a John the Baptist, or even an Agabus. You show me one prophet in all of Scripture that ever told God's people that the way to solve XYZ problem was to throw money at it. You can't find one. You can't find a prophet beginning in Genesis and working your way through Revelation. You just can't find one unless they are false prophets. Unless they are what? False prophets. So, my beloved saints, my dear friends in Christ, don't let anyone bamboozle you. However tempting it may sound. And even if they say to you, give $58, everybody has $58. Well, if you give it, even that little amount of $58, you're going to be out $58. $58 you could have spent on buying your child some school supplies or paying for your child's uniform for gym, or buying a few groceries, you're gonna be out $58. And they come to, they lowball you like that. They come with that low offering, and they'll say to you, five is the number of grace, and eight is the number of new beginnings. And if you give $58, the Lord, well, no, nothing's gonna happen. Because everything you need from God comes by means of prayer. Jesus said, Jesus, the greatest prophet of them all, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock on God's door and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that ask it, receive it. Everyone that ask it, receive it. And everyone that seeks, finds. And everyone that knocks has the door open to them. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time listening to these profiteers. They're not prophets. They are profiteers. Prophets pray. Prophets do not profiteer. Prophets do not collect offerings. Prophets do not go around selling words or selling miracles or promising you XYZ for a certain offering. Those are not prophets of God. Samuel never did that. Moses never did that. Zephaniah never did that. Habakkuk never did that. Obadiah never did that. There's not a prophet. There's not a prophet in the Bible offerings ever. Ever. Not one. Those who will come telling you that your solution is found in an offering, those are profiteers. Those are false prophets who belong to the fraternity from which Baal came from. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone trick you. Don't let anyone con you. Can't find it in the Bible. It's not Bible. Can you show me one verse in the Bible? One verse. Can you show me one verse wherever a prophet demanded an offering for a turnaround? Can you show me one verse? One. One. You know, 30% of the Bible is prophecy. One-third of the Bible is prophecy. That means that on an average, there's 66 books in the Bible. That would mean that 22 books of the Bible would be prophecy. 22. Out of the 66, 30%. But you can't find in that 30% of literature, of inspired Holy Ghost literature, you can't give me one example. Why? Because God's prophets do not go around collecting offerings in God's name and promising miracles and healings and turnarounds in God's name. Anything you want from God, you do not obtain it by giving money, you by means of prayer, by seeking out your Heavenly Father. Now, in this series that we've been doing with Samuel, remember, we started way back in February. On February the 6th, we started on this series on Samuel. And thus far, with today included, this would be part 7. We've been talking about Samuel. This would be the 7th broadcast that we've been talking about the prophet Samuel and prayer. the prophet Samuel in prayer. And whatever Samuel needed for God's people, he got it, he obtained it, he received it, prayed. Whatever you need from God, saints, you get it by means of prayer. You get it by simply opening up your mouth and talking to God. Now, you know, this is, again, we're in this series with Samuel. We've been in this series now. Part 7 is today. Part 8 will be next week. And thus far, we haven't seen once where Samuel, needs something from God and gave an offering to get it. Not once. We haven't seen the people come to Samuel once and say, Samuel, we brought you an offering because we need this miracle from the Lord. Not once. We never see Samuel demanding an offering from the people to get a word from the Lord, to get a miracle from the Lord, to get a deliverance from the Lord, to get a breakthrough from the Lord, to get a healing from the Lord, to get anything from the Lord. The Bible does not teach ever that if you want something from God, you can obtain it by sowing. Never does the Bible teach that. Ever. 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 And so we must remain true to God's word. And we must say, well, if we want something from the Lord, the only way to obtain it, the only way to get it, scripturally speaking, pray. The old-fashioned way, the old-school way, the way to get it is you pray, is you seek the Lord. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek him out, and he shall be found. Knock on his door, and he shall open it unto you. For whosoever asketh, receiveth. There's the guarantee. And whosoever seeketh, findeth. And whosoever dares to knock shall have the door open unto them. Nothing about sowing, nothing about coming with a bushel of money, a basket full of money to put it before God. Oh, no, none of that. Those are false prophets. We were warned that prophets of that ilk, prophets of that kind, would come in the last days, and with feigned words, they would make merchandise of God's people. That's 2 Peter 2:3. We were told these kinds of prophets would come. The kind that will fleece Christ's flock without mercy. Without mercy. So whatever you need, saints, pray for it. Pray for what you need. Don't sow. Now, You want to sow something? Find out in your church who needs groceries. Go find out. If you hear about a single mother who's having a hard time feeding her kids this week, go shopping. You were planning on giving $58. Go out and get a few gallons of milk, get some peanut butter, get some jelly, get some bread, get some cereal. Sow $58 worth of groceries in a family's life if you want to sow the $58. And just sow it in love without expecting anything in return. And when you sow it, when you sow it. Sow it without expecting anything in return. You go sow that, and you'll do more good. You'll do more good helping out a single mother who is struggling to feed her kids. You'll do more good sowing the $58 worth of groceries into their life than to be giving it to some swindling profiteer. You'll do far better. And then go to God in prayer. And when you go to God in prayer, don't mention the groceries, because you didn't sow so that God could hear you. You didn't feed the widow and her children with the intent that would get you in good with God. You did it because it's the right thing to do for us to feed the poor. You want to sow? Don't you have relatives in your family? Don't you have relatives in your family that may need some groceries? And here you are on a line giving some prophet $1,000, and your mother's light's going to get cut off? Your mother has no oil in her furnace, no oil in her tank. And all you would need is $500 to fill your mother's tank with oil. But here you are, her oil furnace's tank with oil, and here you are on a line giving some false prophet $1,000. Can't help the woman who brought you into this world, and you can't help the woman who nursed you and raised you. Can't help her, but you're going to help some fleecing prophet. Help your mother. Come to her aid. Do right. Because what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? That we need to take care of those of our own household. We need to take care of those who are in our family. Well, I want to sow into the man of God. Well, the man of God is living in a mansion. And the man of God just rolled up to the church in a Bentley. And the man of God is wearing a $3,000 suit. Not to mention the expensive alligator shoes he's got on. So don't worry about the man of God. Take care of your mother's oil furnace. Because remember, whatever you need, you get it from God simply by prayer. That's how you get it. That's how they got it in the Bible, and that's how we get it today. Simply by prayer. So let's be old school. Let's be old school and let's feed the poor. Don't feed the profiteer. Don't feed the profiteer. Feed the hungry. Feed the poor. Come to someone's rescue. And then go to God in prayer for what you need. And do not bring up the fact that you sowed into some family's life. Don't use that as a chip with God. Because if you do, you're going to blow it. Just go to God in prayer. Well, I want to play another song before we actually get into today's study. Today's study will come to us from 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. So let's listen to another song. And right after this song, I'll come back and we'll do our study on 1 Samuel chapter 8.
And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious. They held harps given them by God, and they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb.
And they sing the song.
Thank you.
Well, Saints, we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, and we want to read all the way down to verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. And it says, "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, and we ask you to bless this lesson. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, and Lord, bring out the essence of the text and bring out the lesson for today. The primary lesson in this text. Bring it out, Lord, and make it plain to our hearts. And let us apply it as the word of the Lord. This we ask and this we pray in Jesus' precious name. We're told that this happened when Samuel was old, when he was old and he had made his sons judges over Israel. Interesting to note, I don't find much fault in Samuel. We know he's a man. We know that all men are sinners. But I don't find much, there's not a sin passage. There's not a passage in the Bible where it says that he went out to sin or he sinned against the Lord. We don't find the passage. However, here we have that it was Samuel, not the Lord. It was Samuel who made his sons judges. When you read the book of Judges, it is God who raises up judges, not prophets. As a result of Samuel making his sons judges, that backfired. Samuel was old, and he needed someone to help him with the work, and he made his sons judges, not the Lord. He made them, and that backfired. It says that his sons walked not in his ways. They did not follow their father, in that they went after money. They loved money. His two boys loved money. And because they loved money, they took bribes and they perverted justice. They could be bought, the Bible says. In essence, Samuel's sons were not like him. Samuel could not be bought, but his sons could be bought. That's what happens, saints. That's what happens when we make people judges. You see, when God makes somebody a judge, when God makes somebody a prophet, when God makes someone an apostle, when God makes someone a teacher, when God makes someone a bishop, we won't have any heartaches. But when we make them judges, when we decide when we decide to become a ministry factory, if you will, where we just start handing out licenses and ordinations and we start ordaining people, backfires. Then those people who have not been touched by the Lord, have not been groomed by the Lord, they will show their proclivity, their love for money. And their love for money would cause them to be bought and to pervert justice. Now, Samuel thought he was doing a good thing. But the Bible records that Samuel was the last judge. That's what the Bible states. The Bible shows us that Samuel is the last of the judges. But he went and made his son judges. God wanted to end it with Samuel, and Samuel said, no, I'll tell you, Lord, when to end it. And it backfired. It backfired. Not only did it backfire, but as you can see, the elders of Israel came to him and gave him three reasons why they want to change. The first reason was, your sons are corrupt. Your sons are corrupt. The second reason is, we want to conform to the pattern of others. We want to be like other nations. We want to have a king. We want to be just like the world. Now, Samuel's choice of ordaining his sons as judges backfires. This causes the elders to begin to talk among themselves, and they muster the courage to approach the old prophet, the venerable prophet, the respected prophet, and they point out and they say to him, behold, thou art old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. They don't walk in your ways. You're an old man. You're past your prime. You're over the hill. You're semi-retired. And your sons, whom you ordained in your stead, they love money. They can be bought. And when they are bought to pervert justice. You're old. And your sons are rascals. You're old, and your sons are no good. You're old, and we want something new. We want a king like the other nations. We want to conform to their pattern. We want to be just like the world. We, God's people, want to be just like the world. We want a king who can lead us into battle. And the Bible says this thing displeased Samuel. It bothered him. It troubled him. Oh, it bothered him. Pleased him. It displeased him. When they said to him, give us a king, give us a monarch to judge us. It bothered Samuel, but Samuel did not get into it with the people. It bothered Samuel, but he did not rebuke them. He did not exhort them because they were partially right. You see, whatever we do in the flesh, saints, will come back to bite us. You appoint the wrong people to positions of ministry. You see, a position of ministry is a position of service. A position of ministry is a position of honor. You are to function as a minister with great honor and integrity. And yet his sons did not view it as a position to serve God's people with integrity. They used their positions to serve God's people with impunity. And this thing displeased Samuel. Yes, he failed. He failed with his sons. Yes, yes, yes. It displeased Samuel that he had what? That he had these elders come to him and demand that they wanted to be just like the world. Hadn't he worked all those years? Didn't he lead them all those years to show them that we are not like the world? We may be in the world, but we're not like the world. So what did Samuel do? Well, Samuel did what he always does. He prayed unto the Lord. He talked to the Lord about it. He talked to God about the situation. And the Lord spoke. And the Lord said, Samuel, it's time for change. It's time to introduce the monarchy. It's time to introduce the kingship to the nation. It's time to give the people a king, a vice regent with the Lord, someone in human form who can represent the King of Kings before the nation. And so God answered and said, give them what they want, but then tell them what the consequences will be. And the consequences will be that this king will fleece you, take from you whatever he wants, because that's what worldly kings do. When you want to be like the world, you get the world's results. And the world's results is abuse on top of abuse on top of abuse and on top of abuse. So, saints, we're going to leave it there. We're going to leave it there. But please note, don't get into a tussle with the people when they ask you for something worldly. Don't argue with them when they make worldly demands. Don't get into it with them. Do like Samuel. Go pray unto the Lord and let God give you a word for that situation. Saints, that'll do it for today. We'll be back next week. Remember, continue to pray and call upon the name of the Lord, for he, the Lord, has a word for his people. God bless you.